On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk about training for your internal staff, what they need to know now to prepare them for the next 2 to 3 years. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates. To find out more, just give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the COO of Staffing E-Trainer, Amy Munro. Amy, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Oh, you're so welcome, Todd. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invite.
You got it. Well, as we like to do with all of our guests, just kind of start off by giving us your 60-second elevator pitch for Staffing E-Trainer.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I'll be glad to do that for you. Staffing E-Trainer is a training provider that really provides training solutions for every budget. We provide online learning. We write custom programs. We have prepackaged products, and we deliver instructor-led training. It's exciting. We've been involved in the industry since, I almost hate to admit it, the mid-80s, and have been training the industry since about 1991. Mm. So we love what we do. Glad to be part of it.
In terms of just looking at maybe the past 10 years, what's been the biggest changes that you've seen for training for the staffing industry?
Unfortunately, Todd, not a whole lot.
Oh, no.
That's kind of, it's interesting. We talked to some people are doing a great job. Hmm. Many people we talk to really are doing training as they did 20 years ago. Hmm. So what we like to think about when I think about the changes in the industry, e-learning has come about, mm-hmm. for sure, without a doubt. A lot of people use e-learning. Unfortunately, along with that goes the habit of relying on e-learning. Mm-hmm. you can't always learn just with e-learning.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, but it's really given us, e-learning's been such a great impact because it's on-demand learning. If you have a distributed workforce, you can reach people with a consistent message in many different locations, which is very difficult in an instructor-led or have your manager train the people. Hmm. That sometimes can have multiple trainings going on there for sure.
You know, I like having vendors to the industry on because you spend a lot of time at conferences all over the country in the staffing and recruiting industry. So what are some of the big issues that are being discussed right now, you know, other than obviously can't find any candidates, but, you know, what are some of the big talking points that people are addressing with you at these conferences?
You know, honestly, a lot of it is the labor shortage, just the historic labor shortage. Yeah. I think that that's, we're at unprecedented levels and everyone knows that and understands it. But what our people are finding is that's not just at the candidate level and the temporary associate level, but their internal staff as well. Mm. And it's really becoming a challenge and a key focus of companies. When I hire somebody, how can I then make sure that I keep them? So that's what we're hearing a lot of. We can get people and we can hire them in as recruiters, interviewers, salespeople. But really, the key piece now is, how can I keep them in this tight labor market? Mm. You know, and that comes back to, I think, people really need to have a high level of monitoring how they're recruiting and then monitoring the impact of those recruiting sources as well, right?
Right.
So what is my ROI when I bring somebody in? How are they actually producing? But there are so many elements from which we'll talk about, so many elements from the time that I interview through the time that I train and they're actually at full productivity. And that's the key piece that I think people are looking at right now from an internal staff perspective.
You know, I know it's a huge issue right now with being so tough to find candidates. And I'm wondering, where are the areas that staffing firms and recruiting firms should be focusing on when it comes specifically to recruiter training?
For recruiter training specifically, what they need to be thinking about, we do a fairly good job on the tactical how-to. We have to do that. So your recruiters have to know, how do I make that screening call? How do I have a really thorough interview? That's critical. You know, how do you use your ATS? Making sure they're putting all the information in the system as needed. What we're finding is not necessarily provided in training and is critical is what I like to call, Todd, is turning off the autopilot. It happens.
Yeah.
And you've got to really engage with those candidates. So I had a client that focused on just this, and we dropped their turnover dramatically. So recruiters really have to figure out, how can the candidate make sure they don't feel like they're being processed, but that the candidate is feeling valued and respected and listened to? And that all comes into the way that you interact with the candidate, and it all comes into, how are you building a relationship? You know, so many times, Todd, I go into staffing companies quite a bit, and I listen to people, recruiters actually doing interview, and it almost sounds like it's an interrogation. It's not a conversation. They need to have a conversation. And so that's really what we're seeing. The biggest impact that our clients are having is when their recruiters can focus on having a conversation and respecting the associates and making sure they feel heard and valued.
I love that phrase, having the conversation. Yeah, that's great.
It is.
Yeah. So if I'm an owner of a staffing or recruiting firm, you know, what are some of the red flags that I need to be looking at in terms of making sure my recruiters and sales reps are happy right now? Because I think too often in this industry, we're reactive and say, okay, geez, we've just lost three recruiters in the past 6 months. We really need to do something here. Instead of being proactive and saying, oh, looks like something's going on here with, you know, Jane Doe. And what are the things that I need to be looking for to make sure that I don't suffer from turnover issues?
I think the key piece is making sure that you are doing a very thorough job of onboarding and making sure that you are then giving your employees the skills to succeed. So that might be, you know, in the first 3 months, obviously there's critical training that needs to be done then. But then you have your staff that's been with you for a year or 2 years or 4 years. When was the last time you asked them, what skills do you not have that you want to learn? We do a lot of needs analysis surveys for our clients, and it's all done anonymously. And the information we get back is great because people sometimes are scared to say to their supervisors, I need more EEO training, or I'm not sure if I'm doing this I-9 the right way. Things that could possibly get your company into legal trouble. And a lot of times doing a anonymous survey with your staff is a great way to figure out, what do they want to learn that we're not giving them? What are skills that they want to expand on that we may not even have thought about? So those are the areas that when I'm thinking about how can I retain my staff, that's a good part of it. And making sure that, am I really giving them the tools to be successful?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned onboarding because I do consider that separate from traditional training. And training I think of as ongoing, you know, throughout your entire career, but that onboarding process is so important. I can remember my very first job I had out of college. I showed up for the first day and They didn't have a chair for me. They didn't have a computer for me. Basically just a table that they put me at. And it really didn't set a great first impression. So, you know, what are those kind of 2 to 3 essential elements to onboarding to make sure you don't lose them in those first couple months?
And, you know, it's unfortunate, Todd, that I hear that story a lot. That I showed up, I didn't have an email address.
Yep.
The computer wasn't on my desk. I didn't have any supplies on my desk.
Yeah.
So I think we have to really take into consideration, you know, when you hire a person, that's like inviting someone into your home. And you don't invite someone into your home and not have a place for them to sit down. And offer them something to drink and make sure they know where they can go get another bottle of water or Coke, right? And you have to think about that when you're hiring people into your company. You're really kind of bringing them into your home. And if they don't have the tools initially on that first day, they're going to feel unwelcome. They're going to feel somewhat disrespected. And then they're going to start thinking, hey, if I had taken that other job, would I have been better off at that other place? So I've already set the seeds of being disillusioned, if you will. But when I think of onboarding, I think there are a couple essential elements that have to be put into place. First of all, that person needs to be welcomed on day one by the entire team. The manager has to be at the office early and when that person arrives. Everyone in the office needs to know that there's a new hire coming in that morning. Everyone needs to be aware and there to welcome that new hire. I'm sure you've seen, as many people have, the different videos on YouTube and LinkedIn. You know, on the first day, they have employees that walk in the front door and the whole team's there, you know, cheering them on and welcoming them and the whole team as they come in. And they have a welcome reception for them. They get to meet their coworkers. That's the type of welcome that makes an individual want to give everything to the company that they've just started to work for.
Yeah.
And past that, when you think of onboarding, 91% of the companies that have strong onboarding programs, 91% of their first year employees see a 50% greater productivity.
Wow.
So if you can have a strong onboarding program, you're going to get more productivity. And that's part of the reason of an onboarding. Obviously, that's not all of it, but that's part of the reason. So your onboarding begins in the pre-hire stage. It begins during the interview stage and how you're explaining to that individual the actual position, what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be contributing to the company. Many people just give a job description but don't explain, and this is what you look like in the big picture. Doing that pre-hire and setting the stage, but once they're hired on, it's so important that the new hire understands, what is your culture? Can they verbalize your culture? Does it roll off their tongue? What are your values? What are your business offerings? It's interesting. If you go into a company, some companies, they can't even tell you what their culture or values are. You know? And that's not what job seekers are looking for today. They want to know what your culture is and what you value. And that's critical to have that up front. I think it's critical, too, that those employees know, what are the company goals? And what are you going to do? I'm a new hire. What am I going to do that's going to help contribute to those goals? So I can see how I'm a part of that big picture. I have to understand the why. Why am I here? Most people don't want to just show up to fill an employee on a position. I'm not here to be an order placer. I really want to know, what am I contributing? We actually, in one of my clients, I do a staffing specialist boot camp for them. And this is maybe after people have been there 2 to 3 months. And we give them this great culture, value, goal, submersion piece of the boot camp. And they love it because they can see this is the 15-year goal. This is where we want to be in the next 3 years. This is what it looks like on your desk. If you do this, you can help us get to that number. When we do that, the people say, you know, you should give this to every new hire in the first week. It's great information, and it allows me to understand where I am in the company's ecosystem, what I get to contribute.
Yeah, I would challenge you, if there's any staffing owners, staffing managers listening to this right now, ask every single person in your office to describe your corporate culture. And if you don't have everybody in agreement, you know you got some work to do, because that happens with us all the time when we ask, you know, some of our clients, you know, well, describe your culture to us, or describe your mission or your goals. And if we ask that to 10 different people in the organization, we sometimes get 10 different answers. And it's kind of scary that even in the upper level management, not everybody's on the same page with that.
It's amazing.
It really is. Yeah.
And so just to segue off that a little bit, Todd, in terms of that, you also have to continue to articulate your culture and your value.
Yeah.
I can't do I can do a one-time kind of project and, okay, let's all get on the same page. And now we all know the culture. Yeah. You have to continue to speak to that culture and how everything that you do during the day is playing into that culture. Yeah. That's the key.
One of the kind of ongoing jokes of this interview series is that so many people in the staffing industry come from outside of other industries. You know, nobody goes to college to own a staffing company. So I think we're 100%. Everybody I've asked that question to says, well, I came from this industry or that industry, and I had a friend who opened a staffing firm and they wanted some help and I decided to go with them, you know. So what are some of the characteristics to look for when you're hiring from outside of the industry?
So, well, I think it's funny, first of all, you talk about people that start that aren't in the industry. I had a gentleman call the other day, and he wanted to start a staffing company. And I said, have you worked in staffing? And no, I haven't. Like, do you know anybody that's worked in staffing? No, I haven't. And why did you choose this as an industry that you want to get into? Oh, I just heard you can make a lot of money in it.
Yeah, right.
So the fact you said that's kind of, it kind of brought that chuckle back of, yep, people say, let's get into it. We can make some money here. Mm. So it's interesting. But when we look for, if you're not from inside the industry, you're hiring from outside, and your question was, what kind of characteristics should we look for when we're hiring people for our staffing company? And many people are wanting to go outside of the industry. This industry is so personality driven. If you find the personality that fits, you can teach them how to do the business. We find really, if you are interviewing somebody who's come from an industry that's customer facing, fast paced, multitasking, that's the type of industry that fits very well with staffing. So those are industries like hospitality, retail, fast food, those kind of things where no day is ever the same. If you're somebody that has to start a task and complete it, this may not be the industry for you. Is in the middle of that, you're going to be pulled into something different. So. Right. It's that person that has the flexibility, and normally those fast-paced multitasking industries blend really well with staffing.
Where do you see the biggest gap in training right now in the staffing industry? You know, if you had to say to every staffing firm out there, this is the one essential area you need to be focusing on your training right now.
It would be that telling, but not coaching and implementing. So I'll tell you what I want you to do and need to do, and you might come and sit in a class, and they might have instructor-led classes that they teach. That could be e-learning that they're doing. That could be self-paced study. Whatever it might be, if we are giving them information, but we're not coaching them, we're not prompting them along. We're not bringing in the blended learning environment, which is a trend. You asked about a trend the last 10 years in the industry. Blended learning is one of those. So that's what we see, is they do a great job of giving the training the first time, but not following up on it.
Interesting.
So once I train somebody, how can I help them actually implement those skills? So are we role-playing and making sure that Todd understands an interview and how to engage in a conversation and not just ask 50 questions? Are we observing and giving them feedback? Are we not just doing that for 5 interviews and then letting them go, but are we doing that ongoing? I think I will observe people that have been in the industry 10 years, and I can give them coaching. And there, it's kind of funny because their word is, oh, yeah, I kind of go on autopilot, don't I? I'm like, yes, that's exactly what happened. So I think we, as an industry too, Todd, we're staffing and not training professionals, right? Most people that have a staffing company aren't training professionals like we are. And they have a tendency to go back and think of the, well, you know, people learn in 3 ways. You know, layman's term, seeing, hearing, and doing. In reality, that's kind of an outdated theory. And it's being debunked by neuroscience. A lot more goes into adult learning. There are many more elements to come into play. And so I think the staffing industry might be leaning more on only providing the seeing or the hearing or the doing, not combining them along with other necessary elements of adult learning. So really, I kind of like to say, I think the biggest gap is staffing doesn't need to be focused on training. They need to be focused on implementing and retaining the skills that are learned.
Before we let you go, final question, where do you see the biggest change in the next maybe 2 to 3 years when it comes to training for the staffing industry?
A lot. There's a lot of different studies, neuroscience kind of studies that are going on. But just in general, a lot of studies about ROI. So, of course, big data elements are coming into play. Micro learning is a concept. Be interested. I'd love to know what everyone thought the definition of that is. Everyone has a different definition. But learning in shorter chunks. So that doesn't mean just taking a shorter e-learning course, but that means learning at the point of need. So maybe that would be learning on your phone. Maybe you're on site, an employee gets hurt, and you need to refresh your memory on what do I do? If you can get that point of need learning off your cell phone, that's what you need. So those are kind of things that are coming along in the next 2 to 3 years that I think are going to be impactful. There's a lot of trends that maybe don't prove to be worthy and actually change skill patterns. So that's something that we'll have to keep our eye on. It sounds good, but making sure it really does work as we think.
She is the COO of Staffing eTrainer. She's Amy Monroe. To find out more about Staffing eTrainer, you can go to staffingetrainer.com, and that's also where you can find them on Twitter. Amy, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and sharing your secrets of staffing training success with our audience.
Thank you so much, Todd. I've had a wonderful time, and I appreciate it.
My thanks to Amy Monroe from Staffing eTrainer for joining us this week. Again, staffingetrainer.com is where you can find out more about them. My favorite line from that conversation was when she talked about interviewing and turning interviews from an interrogation to a conversation. What a great thought to have for all of your recruiters. And here's what I would challenge you to do, and we talk about this a lot on this show, is getting behind the scenes a little bit. When was the last time as an owner or a manager did you sit in on an interview and listen to how your recruiters conduct their interviews? Or even better yet, take it one step further. How about having your recruiters interview you for a position and see how they handle it. Do a little role play. I think that will tell you a lot about how the candidates experience your interview process. And just having that conversation, instead of grilling people with questions, really having it more informal and having more of a conversation, I think it allows the candidate to loosen up and allows the candidate to be more of themselves. And that in turn will tell you more about that candidate. So I think that's a great thought to finish with today, is turn interviews from interrogations to conversations. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Don't forget, you can always find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple device, and you can find all of our episodes at HaleyMarketing.com. You'll also find all of our episodes of Insights, which is part of our Secrets of Staffing Success podcast family. Brad Biley and Matt Lozar bringing you the latest trends and tips in the world of social media. So make sure you check that out as well. And we will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.